Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. You know, summer is coming, the sun is shining, shirts are off, and your balls are smooth. You heard me right. Your friends at Manscaped, they're here to make sure that your beach balls are as smooth as the Floridian sand, my friends. In the summertime, you know, you want to kill some cold beers and some barbecues, not kill the vibe with your pubes picking out of your swim trunks. That's why Manscaped has their Performance Package 4.0. That's to keep the party in your pants, my friend, looking crisp and refreshing all summer long. 4 million men have trusted Manscaped. Why shouldn't you? It all starts and stops by going to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping if you use my promo code Bubba. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything that you need to prepare for that summer bod. Inside this package, you're going to find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold it all, my friends. You want to take your grooming game even further? Take a look at the Manscaped Shears 2.0. In that package, it has everything that you need to look pristine. Nail cutters, tweezers, grooming scissors. Go to manscaped.com and go crazy. They got everything you potentially possibly could need. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. This is the summer to turn your package into the full package, my friend. And it all starts and stops at manscaped.com. Listen, I have had my Manscaped stuff now for about a year. I don't know what I would do without it. As a matter of fact, I've now got all my co-hosts on the Manscaped deal. All the male co-hosts on my show have almost everything Manscaped offers. Why wouldn't you? Reduce the risk of ingrown hairs. You reduce the risk of grooming accidents. Again, all of this craziness starts and stops at manscaped.com. Use promo code Bubba for 20% off.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Lummi Sports Show. I am the co-host, Brian, the babyface Matroni, joined always by the cavity-filled Lummix.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
It's going good, Lummi. How you doing, buddy?
Great. 813-90-BUBBA. 813-90-BUBBA. Yeah, I just got back from the dentist. Got a cavity. But, you know, that's what happens when you got this big COVID, you know, for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years.
Well, you may have not have gone for 5 years. I think you can write off, like, 1 year of it because of COVID.
Two.
But how? How do you get to write off two? The dentists have been open, dude.
The dentist even said.
Said what? What? He's been closed for 2 years?
He said, you know, a lot of people haven't been to the dentist.
A lot of people haven't. Yes, that's right. And including you, apparently.
Because of the whole COVID thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the reason why you didn't go.
Listen.
You just didn't go to COVID, to the dentist because you're lazy.
Yeah, you are actually correct on that one, too. Plus, the dentist I was using pretty much was all the way in Tarpon Springs, and I didn't feel like driving there, which actually, like you said, makes me a little lazy. You nailed it 100%.
All right, let's just move on then. We've nailed it. We've identified the problem.
We're fixing the problem at this point.
That's it.
So.
That's it. It's all good.
So, how have you been, Brian?
I've been terrific, man. How about you? It's the draft happened since we were here.
Draft hockey, playoff
hockey?
Can you
imagine being a douchebag who goes to the Buccaneers draft party, sits there all fucking night long,
and then
just
they,
for
and
them
then
to
trade,
out of the first round?
That would be
You know
pretty...
what?
That's there's an old Italian word for that, and it's called futida.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And it pretty much means fuck off, it serves you right.
Is that
you know, you got what you deserved.
Is that pretty much did
it's a Sicilian word, I believe.
Did Dan tell you about that?
No, my mom's Sicilian.
Well, let's take our first call. 561. 561?
Hey, your audio on VAR is shit. Can't even hear you.
The VAR audio is shit?
Yeah.
Well, Lummy's our technical guy today.
Yes,
so.
I will go look at it.
It came in good. You had the badass beat going, and then just shit. Can't even hear it. Got my dolly up. Can't hear it.
All right, I will take a look at it right now. Brian can always hold it down and talk everything there is to know about every sports. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Right.
You going to go take a little look, see Lum-Lum?
Yeah. Brian, you got it. I
got this. Yeah. So right now, Real Madrid versus Man City in the second leg of their UEFA Champions League semifinal, winner to play Liverpool. If Man City can keep it 0-0, they will advance. If they give up a goal, I believe they lose on scoring aggregate. Road goals is a tiebreaker, I think. Anyways, back to the draft. I just couldn't imagine sitting there for 4 hours for waiting for the Buccaneers to make their pick. And then the time comes and they're like, hey, come back tomorrow and we'll actually make our first pick. But getting into the ultimate picks that they made, you know, great job getting Logan Hall. You know, it is a position area of need, and Ndamukong Suh is still not signed. I think he's probably wanting a little more money than he is worth on the open market right now, which would explain why he isn't signed, because he certainly, I think, wants to keep playing. But the Bucks haven't signed him, and no other team apparently has, as he is a free agent. And then obviously another question mark was the departure of Ali Marpet and having to fill his role. And they did that promptly with their second pick in the draft, Luke Getke out of Central Michigan, a good get at guard, ready to play pretty much from day one. So they'll get him into the mix there and he'll finish off their offensive line, either being a starter or their sixth guy, like Stinney has been in the past. And, you know, overall, good draft for the Bucks. No first-round pick, but they essentially got a guy who's right there at first-round talent. Got an extra pick out of the whole deal. So overall, I'm happy with their draft. The one obvious head-scratcher is the punter in round four.
In Georgia.
You know, if you're going to take a punter, you take the kid from San Diego State, I believe it was.
Yeah, who has the highest, 50-something?
51.2 yards. Now, one of the knocks against him was that he did not kick for coverage very well. He had a very quick kicking motion, and so blockers and gunners had a difficult time getting down the field on some of his punts. Also, he didn't have the best placement in terms of goal line, you know, coffin corner type placement, whereas the kid from Georgia had a little bit better. But you can't, you know, his 51.2 yard average was skewed because he had two punts that went over 80 yards.
Yeah, they hit the turf and just
bounced. So, you know, you take even taking 60 yards off of his average. I mean, if he punted the ball 80 times in the season, that which is probably a lot. He probably punted, 60 times? That adds an entire yard, those just from those two long punts, to his overall average. But still, anything north of 47, 48 yards on a punt is exceptional. Plus, the kid from, even though he's left-footed, the kid from San Diego State also was their place kicker and was decent at that. So the good news for, you know, for the Bucks, when you have a punter like that, you could have put him in the game if your place kicker, your normal place kicker, got hurt. And so you wouldn't be in a position where you'd have to go for it on fourth downs or put in somebody who's not a kicker at all to try and attempt those kicks. So that's my one big question mark. The other one on the Bucks, and we'll see what you think on this, Lummy, is Kokeeft, the tight end out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
nobody was drafting him. Nobody was going to draft him. So why use a pick on him when you could get him as an unrestricted, undrafted free agent? I don't understand that so much. You know, these late round picks are where you find your special team and practice squad guys typically. So I don't know why you reach on a guy who I think was rated somewhere around number 500.
Yeah, he was draft very pool. Far down, but they must have seen something with him.
But again, what did they think was going to, like, did they think there was going to be a run on tight ends in round number 7 and they were going to lose out on this kid? I just don't get it. You've already drafted Cade Otton, great pick as pick 1 in the first round. Awesome. Probably one of the best overall tight ends available in this draft, and you got him in the 4th round. So kudos to the Bucks on that. But I don't understand the Co-Keefe. And not that it's the end of the world. It's a 6th round pick. You know, those are, again, depth pieces and positional pieces. And I understand you draft for need. But, man, they must have seen something exceptional with him that nobody else in the world saw. I mean, it does appear like he could be a good blocker. He's not going to catch jack shit. So, and he's a large tight end. Did you see how big he is?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah. So it's essentially like having another offensive lineman potentially. And if you're looking to protect Brady, maybe that's the thought process there. But yeah, I don't quite get that one. I think it was a bit of a reach.
Let's run through these real quick. Make sure the audio is fixed. 727.
Oh, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? 727.
Yeah, buddy. So I was wondering what you guys thought about the Dolphins draft. You guys were talking about it a little bit earlier, like the maybe it was yesterday, but kind of like the different sources that gave like the NFL like report cards for the draft, and sources had different stuff. And,
yeah,
like one had like the Miami Dolphins at like a C, and then I see a lot of the other reports have them at like an A+ and everything, and
it all depends on it. I mean, because you've seen the Packers have an A, and then some people have it at Packers have a C.
Oh no, the Packers get an A+. Packers did awesome.
But there's other sites. I mean, yeah,
it's all in how guys rate. So there's different ways of grading drafts. If you're going to grade drafts based upon total prospects, I mean, obviously the Dolphins had no chance. They didn't have the draft pick capital to qualify for that. But if you're
we did. We just gave a lot of our stuff away to get some major weapons.
You didn't have the capital into the draft. That's the thing.
You guys had 5 picks.
Yeah, I mean, when you got 5 picks and what, 2 third rounds and the rest were late picks? I mean,
it was 1 third round, 2 fourths, and 1 seventh.
Right. So
4 picks or so.
So you got to look at it, and when you're to me, if I'm judging a team's draft, I'm looking at what their areas of needs were going into the draft, what draft capital they had to use, and how they address those needs, and are they coming out a better team following the draft than they were going into the draft. And if you look at Miami's needs, you know, arguably offensive line was one of them.
Yeah.
They did not address that at all. Linebacker was one. They got a linebacker. They got a decent linebacker, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. So Channing Tindall from Georgia, he's awesome, and his highlights look great. And then here's what really messes with my head, because I'm a diehard Dolphins fan, man. So like, we didn't address any of the offensive line issue. I mean, yes, we got one of the guys, like, I've talked to you guys about this before, the guy from the Cowboys and then the guy from the Saints or the Ravens or whatever. But why the hell do we just got Tyreek Hill. We got the long guy to replace Parker from the Cowboys, and we still have Jalen Waddle, who's going to blow up. Why do we get Eric, like, I don't even know.
Is that Kakuma?
Azukanama.
From Texas Azukanama. Tech.
Yeah, but like, why? I was confused about that one, and then we pick up, I think, Cam Good. I think he's another linebacker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he's an outside linebacker.
Yeah, and then our last pick, which this one was really bizarre, but I'm a little bit excited about this one, was the Skylar Thompson,
Kansas State
quarterback for
Kansas State.
Well,
I'd be excited too if you're bringing in anybody to compete with a dead weight Tua, but
especially a seventh round.
I'm telling you right now, this guy ain't it.
I don't know why you're excited about him. Well, because I'll tell you. So Tom Brady. Okay, everyone's gonna say, "Oh yeah, Tom Brady was a sixth round draft pick," and you know, blah blah blah. But like, I actually went and did the research and watched some of the highlights from this guy, and I mean, he's kind of like a Josh Allen. He's real big. He's not afraid to run the ball. He's got a deep arm, so I don't know.
He's not real big. He's 6'2", 217. He has 8 5/8 inches hands. That is way undersized for the NFL in gripping the ball. He's going to be 25 years old when the season starts, which is super fucking old for a rookie.
I didn't know this stuff. This is why you guys are on point with that, because I did not know that.
Yeah, no, and I'm not sitting here saying I advanced scouted Skylar Thompson, but I'm reading the notes on him here.
He had some big wins against big colleges, but obviously that's in college.
That's the thing. I mean, he's got there's some things about him that are good, but again, he's a depth piece. He is, you know, somebody who could maybe go in there and manage game if you ran into some serious injuries. And he's a practice squad guy, right? So you're going to put him there and potentially and have him sitting there and, you know, trying to learn and see. But I don't see much for him. Miami's draft overall, other than the Channing Tindall pick, I am not thrilled if I'm a Miami Dolphin fan with what
I
they
can,
use
I
their capital
personally,
on.
I could personally agree with the C grade, to be honest with you, because, I mean, yeah, we got a line, but like, no one ever, dude, this has been our problem for a long time. We've never addressed our offensive line in the drafts, and we've never, ever addressed getting a running back.
Well, you did. Now, you traded away Jeremy Tunsil, so you had one, and you got rid of him.
Well, then your running back is Edmonds, right? Is it Edmonds?
Yes, from the Cardinals.
Yeah. So, I mean, technically you guys signed a running back.
No, but
and he's not bad.
Tindall, I would give the Tindall pick for round and position and need. I'd give that one an A. The other picks, I mean, I'm giving the Dolphins a D, quite honestly. They didn't address their needs well enough.
That's fair.
The Tindall pick is a home run to me where, you know, they had it. Now, But that's overall looking at their draft needs and the positions of need. I'm not going to knock them for taking a flyer on a project quarterback in the seventh round. What I will say, though, is that you could have signed him as an undrafted free agent. So why bother using that when you could get a position where you could hit on somebody as a scratch-off ticket on a position where you have real need? I mean, Tua is your starter. You've made that clear. You've gotten rid of a coach over him.
They have a good backup, though.
Yeah.
Two-glove Teddy.
Yeah.
Little Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah.
But that's what I don't get.
But you know what? To be honest with you guys, honestly, like, even though we have a cool backup, like, doesn't that kind of suck and hurt a little bit? Like, your team, you want, like, your starting quarterback to be good, and then like he kind of like fluffs it up a little bit, and they have to put the second. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Fitzpatrick, but like I still was kind of pissed when they were pulling Tua out after like the first and second quarter, and putting in, you know, Fitzpatrick.
Because Flores did not like Tua.
Flores was trying to win.
Yeah,
I mean, is a head coach supposed to sit there and just take his lumps and can't throw a pass more than 7 yards down the fucking field because Tua is not capable of it in his rookie year? Or should he be out there trying to win ball games?
He put him in the game. He didn't like what he saw in the first half. And so he went with Fitzpatrick. Yep. He wanted to extend the field, change up the game plan. And a lot of those games, I think they won. I think they went 5-1 with them or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. When they were kicking ass, you know, the freaking famous Fitzpatrick got his face mask pulled, and then he threw that bomb to freaking Hollins, who they gave away, call him Big Fro. And then they went ahead to kick the field goal to win the game. You know, then all of a sudden, you know, Tua's, you know, feeling better, and then they just keep putting Tua back. And we're like, me and the rest of the Dolphins fans are kind of like, you know, T-
just keep Fitzy in.
Yeah, but guess what? But talk anyway. To your owner. Talk to the GM, because I guarantee they were telling Flores, put Tua back in. He's our quarterback. Put him back in, which is why Flores was so unhappy.
Well, thanks for the call, and good luck to your Dolphins. Right, we'll see how it all pans out. All right, we got
cool, 843 was 843 was right, and then I think one was our USFL expert.
Oh, USFL Brandon was calling
in?
Yeah,
I believe he was on there. Oh, there's 843.
And it pains me to say this. And we'll go to the call real quick.
843?
Hey, it's good. It's Sean from Charleston.
Hey, what's up, Sean from Charleston?
What's up, Mommy? I just want to tell you guys you're doing a great job. Love you. Love Brian. I know he doesn't like to hear that. But I love them anyways. I'm marking out.
I don't mind. I don't mind a good mark out. as long as it's well deserved. Now, what are you calling in for, sir?
I'm just saying good job for the show. Just off work. Go New England. I'm a Patriots fan, but living in South Carolina.
Let's talk about New England for a second. Did you follow their draft? It was interesting, as it always is with New England.
UT Chattanooga, first round.
I mean,
I like the guard. I don't care.
Well, I mean, there's some people that are coming out and saying the Jets have passed.
What about Patriots reaching for Bailey Zappi or Zappi in the fourth round when you could get him in the sixth or seventh round? I mean, that's the type of stuff that I don't get. Like, Pierre Strong, I'm fine with. He'll be a good back. You know, the small schools, I like it. Marcus Jones, cornerback, not a bad pick. Tyquan Thornton, good wide receiver pick. That's fine. That Cole Strange, a little strange, right? I think there were better guards, but if Belichick's got his guy, but that Zappi one is a head scratcher. Maybe Sam Roberts as well, the D tackle out of Northwest Missouri State University.
It looks like Bill Belichick is trying to outsmart everybody by picking up all these small school guys, and like if they pan out, then he can say, well, look, I'm the GM now, and so I'm
It didn't seem like the best, but who knows? You know, the proof is in the pudding. We'll see what happens with the Patriots. But I thought it was an interesting draft for them.
It was.
All right, man.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the love, and good luck to your Pats.
All right, man. Nothing but love.
See you, man.
Later.
Yeah, the Pats. Bill Belichick, I think his ego is blown up a little too high. Isn't he like the tight end coach, the special teams coach, the defense coordinator, the GM? Calling offensive plays.
They better figure shit out. I mean, they're going to have a tough time with the Bills in there looking solid.
I mean, everyone was sucking the Jets off for their good draft.
It's a draft.
Hold on.
Hold on. That's not even that it's a draft. You give me three fucking first-round picks and the number four in round two. So I get five of the first 36 picks, and you don't think I could have a good draft? I mean, come on. That's what I'm saying. You got to grade relative to the circumstances.
Wayne Pierce, 200 stars.
Of course, yeah. They got a lot of good players. Of course they fucking did. They had all the picks. So I will say this. Garrett Wilson, probably the best wide receiver available. They got him at number 10. Sauce Gardner, definitely the best cornerback available. They got him at number 4.
Yeah.
Jermaine Johnson the second, arguably the second best defensive end available.
That was a good pickup. I think
it's
that
a
was
great
a steal.
Pickup
that was a
at number 26, yeah, especially with Hutchinson and the other kid going, you know,
one or two
earlier.
Yeah.
So great to get Jermaine Johnson. I mean, those are good picks. But he also, you know, Jermaine Johnson fell to them.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, they traded up to. They traded up for that pick. I believe,
no, they did. They
from
did
Tennessee.
But I'm saying is a lot of teams had to blow it.
Yeah.
or not have need, right? That's the other thing. It's like, oh, great job stealing that, you know, that tight end in round number 3. But, you know, they'll say that. But is it really stealing if other teams don't need that position that are drafting in front of you or have already addressed that position that are drafting in front of you? Are you really stealing a player at that point? Are you doing anything, or is just everybody else not doing it?
You know,
Breece Hall, though, is good pickup at with number 36 as well, best running back available in the draft. So they got arguably the best corner, the best wide receiver, the second best D end, and the best running back with their first five picks. First four picks.
I mean, I think it goes along your lines with the Lions. Obviously, they had the two first round picks. I thought they had a good draft, but I think another team that had a good draft and maybe one of the best was the Ravens.
Yeah, and it was going to pain me to say it.
I know. Trust me.
Here's
I had to text Little Purple Jersey, and I said, wow, Ravens had a good draft.
No, and again, it's one of those things with people falling to him. Kyle Hamilton fell because some teams were worried that he was a little too slow. And so he dropped, even though he was projected to be a top 10, he dropped. So that worked out really well for the Ravens. Linderbaum, very good center available.
He's a good offensive lineman.
Very good center available for them who can also play guard if they need him to. Mm-hmm. So that was good. Ojabo, they're taking a chance. But you want to talk about the guy, an edge rusher with the highest ceiling in the entire draft of any player. He's a redshirt sophomore. This kid is raw and talented. Now, how much of his success was playing with Hutchinson, we'll find out, right?
Yeah.
And also, how can he come back from a gruesome Achilles injury? But it was great value to pick him there. I don't blame him, especially with the number of draft picks that they had available to take him when they did. So, no, it was a good draft for them. And then they went with more system guys. I think, you know,
You can see they like the big 10 and the big 12.
Isaiah Likely from the tight end from Coastal Carolina. You know, we'll see how he works out. But then Damarian Williams, the cornerback pick, and then the other one was that I thought was a bit of a reach for them. But we'll
another punter from Penn State, round 4. Go shuck yourself, $20 super chat.
The punter, you know, do you really need to? Here's the problem I have with the Ravens, though, and why I won't give them an A in the draft. Oh. I thought they did very well, but I'm actually going to give them a B. Have you looked at their fucking wide receiver roster?
Well,
Have you looked at their wide receiver room?
Yeah, didn't they just trade one?
That's how they got into they traded Marquise Brown, which, okay, I get that. A.J. Brown got traded. And what did the Tennessee promptly do after trading A.J. Brown? They drafted his replacement.
Yep.
They used the 18th pick to pick up a top 6 wide receiver in this draft.
Did the Ravens forget that?
The Ravens apparently think that they're okay with their wide receiver room, which is, when I say thin, is a understatement. Go ahead and try and name their wide receivers, Lummy.
I know that they have a good tight end.
Yes, they have one of the top 3 tight ends in the league, Mark Andrew.
Is Steve Smith Senior still there?
No.
Anquan Boldin.
No.
I have no fucking clue who else is on their wide receiver roster.
Marquise Brown was. No, their number one right wide out at this moment in time, as we sit here today, their top receiver is Rashad Bateman.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's second year player out of Minnesota. Then they have the incomparable Devin Duvernay, Jalen Moore, James Prochet II, and Benjamin Victor.
Oh, yeah, Benjamin Victor. And he's from Ohio State.
He is.
He had some good stats last year. I don't think he played. Yeah.
And then of course, who could forget Tylan Wallace?
Well, I mean, maybe they'll sign
Wallace they did sign as an undrafted.
Maybe they'll sign Landry.
Maybe. There's words that there's word on the street is he's considering going back to Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's pretty. I would go back to Cleveland with the quarterback they have.
Yeah. Well, if I have to choose between having the ball thrown to me occasionally by Lamar Jackson or often by Deshaun Watson.
Don't forget, according to Little Purple, Tyler Huntley is the next big thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think you missed that.
He's a great backup, right?
Yeah, he's a good backup. I mean, he had flashes of, you know, being a above average quarterback in the league.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I don't get if you're the Ravens. First of all, if you're grading the draft, okay, how can you not look at wide receiver as a position of need for this team? I don't care that you have Mark Andrews. You know why Kelce was so good in fucking Kansas City?
Because he had wide receivers?
Because they had dynamic threats on the outside, okay? Marquise Brown stretched the field for you. Now what are you going to do? Who's that guy? I mean, Devin Duvernay, maybe.
Rogers Dawson said Julio Jones or Debo Samuel could be an option.
I mean, do you really think Debo wants to go to Baltimore?
No.
He wants to go from San Fran to Baltimore from one, you know, a team that doesn't really. But and here's the other thing for Debo. Why does he want out? I don't get it. They turned him into a household name by utilizing him to the best of his abilities there.
And nothing's ever really come out that why he wants to leave.
I don't get that. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
We're going to take this one. I think it's USF Insider.
USFL.
Yeah, sure. USFL Insider. But I also want to, there's Heather Spin Instructor wants to know what you thought about the draft. But the Giants draft.
Oh, I thought they did okay. Again. But we can get into that after we get our USFL update.
I'm not the USFL guy, Alan. What's up, guys?
Oh, you have the same area
Lummy
code.
Blew it. Hold on.
He has the same area code. Sorry.
Somebody else is calling. Is that the warm line?
No, that's not the warm line.
Oh.
We could hang up on Alan real quick and go to it, but
no.
Alan, how's it going, Alan?
What's up? Can we put a moratorium on people comparing any draft pick, whether it's a sixth round pick or first round pick, to Tom Brady?
Yeah, right. I mean, Brady is a once in a lifetime pickup where he got
listen,
drafted.
Listen, the Kansas State guy, he won a lot of big
hits. I'm very excited about Skylar Thompson and his 8-inch hands. He makes my hands seem big. And
I know that when they put it up on the draft, everybody puts a comp on the high end and the low end, but I think you should just throw Tom Brady out. No one gets compared to him.
I think that's a fair point, and you wouldn't hear it on this show because we don't use crutches like that.
No, I'm trying to find who's another quarterback in the 6th-7th round that started. That's decent.
Started and is decent is a whole lot different than the greatest of all fucking time.
But that's what I'm saying. Can we find one of those guys and say that's, you know, who it is?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who was a 6th-7th round quarterback that actually played?
Ryan Fitzpatrick? I don't know. Was he?
I don't think he was that low.
Was he 5th?
So, Brian, on the picking a guy versus...
He was 7th round.
Look at Matroni with the sports
knowledge.
There
we go. All right, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you want to compare him to anybody, he's going to be the next Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's a much more realistic fair
comp. By the way, that guy loved Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He loved
right.
him. You yeah. just did it. That's perfect.
Yep. There we go.
Yep. So what were you going to say, Alan?
Oh, so I've heard that sometimes teams jump up because... Like, I know later in rounds, as players start to fall, they kind of prefer to not be drafted because then sometimes a player that's not drafted can get a larger signing bonus when other teams are trying to get him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they can
slot it into the 6th round.
And they can get into a better position for them to have a chance to start. You know, mm-hmm. you get onto a team that's loaded at tight end, and they just want an insurance policy tight end, so they draft you, and then you're one of the first cuts, and you don't get to catch on with any other team. You kind of get fucked.
Or by the time you do, everyone's already comfortable. You're coming in week 2, 3, 4, and you're fucked.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I would if I had a choice between being drafted in the 7th round or signing as an undrafted free agent, I'm taking the UDFA route because you got just as good of a chance as making the roster if you go out there and impress. I will say if a team uses draft capital on you, you're unlikely to be immediately cut. You're probably 2nd round of cuts.
Or to the end, at least with the 6th-7th. You'll probably make it to the end of training camp.
Yeah.
Unless you just come out looking like complete
dog
shit.
So you get more of a chance to show yourself. But yeah, no, I'm with you. If you're like the 260th pick or an undrafted free agent, you can control your destiny as a UDFA.
Yeah, you're kind of like going through college recruiting at that point. So.
Yeah, and you can find a position that works for you. But very good point on that.
Yes, thank you, Alan.
All right, have a good show, guys.
You too, Alan.
So somebody wanted to know about the New York Giants.
Yeah, Heather Spin Instructor.
Yeah, I thought they did well. You know, the Thibodeau pick, I think, was okay. You know, he's a good edge rusher. Evan Neal, offensive tackle out of Alabama. Well, you can't go too wrong with that pick there. You need to definitely beef up that offensive line.
Yeah.
So again, this is looking at their positions of need and how they went about addressing it. The number one need was an offensive lineman, a tackle, and they went out there and got one of the best ones available. Then they needed a linebacker. You know, they got Thibodeau off the edge, and then Micah McFadden. Kind of but it's one of those early 5th round guys that can provide you some depth and you know what you need to have to compete. They address the tight end position with Daniel Bellinger. Again, you know, he was a litany of these I would call them crapshoot tight ends. I don't think any of them are going to come out of this draft and be superstars. I don't think we'll see a top 5 tight end emerge from this year's lot. But a lot of these guys could be solid second tier, you know, if we're talking about it in fantasy perspectives, 8 through 15 type guys. And so they took a shot on that. So good job by the Giants addressing their needs.
What would you grade them? Because a lot of places have them with an A.
Yeah, I'd say B plus overall. Based upon again, when you're saying a lot of places have, they had a ton of draft capital, right?
Yes, they did.
When you're picking
8 picks, I believe.
Yeah, 2, 4, 6, 8. Well, they ended up with 11.
Oh fuck, did they? Oh, yeah. Okay.
They may have traded back and done some things, but they picked, you know, they picked 5 of the first 81 guys.
It's pretty good.
So that's, you know, that definitely will improve them. I will say the Wandale Robinson, you know, you better hope he's a great slot type receiver. He's undersized. I think there were better receivers available at that time. But, you know, whatever, it may work out. They may see something in him, but 5'8", 178.
Show me those
Hall of Famers in the NFL at that position, you know. And it's not like he's a burner. 4.44 is good,
not that good,
but
that small.
I will get into now the steal of the draft, the absolute home run pick of all home run picks. We're able to get better. Didn't reach. Waited, and Christian Watson, the second round number 2 pick that Green Bay traded up to get, after shockingly not picking a receiver with the 22nd or 28th pick, or even trading up to get one. But my hat's off to him, because I think Christian Watson has the highest ceiling out of any wide receiver in this year's draft.
He ran a nice 4.40.
This guy is a specimen. Father was an NFL player. 6'5", 230?
230. Yeah, he's like 230.
6'5",
I think he's at 234.
6'5", 235, 4.3-ish speed. He's got to work on his hands. He granted, he was FCS player at North Dakota State, but this kid can play football.
But isn't that what they said about what was his name?
MVS.
Yeah.
MVS was never, I'm a huge USF fan and follow them. He was never going to be an NFL number one. And he, first of all, he was a third round pick.
I meant just being a burner. He came up and struggled with hands.
So yeah, hands were a problem for him, but also route running. MVS was never a precise route runner. He was a throw and go type of guy, right? So Quentin Flowers was able to just chuck it up downfield 50 yards, and MVS would go up and get it.
And that's the nice part.
It's a great, great strategy to have in college.
Yeah.
Because MVS, there weren't safeties keeping up with him. There weren't corners keeping up with him. The safeties had to draw in because Quentin could run. No, Christian Watson is a far more complete receiver than MVS. He has the potential to be a legitimate number one in the National Football League. They had a need, and they immediately addressed it. They also doubled up with Romeo Dubs. The kid out of Nevada, another solid wide receiver pickup. So they had a glaring hole, and they filled it. And they filled it without reaching. That's why I take my hat off to Green Bay, because they didn't trade. They didn't panic and trade up. They addressed the defensive side of the ball with two absolute fucking studs. Devontae Wyatt was talked about, you know, possibly going in the early 20s. They got him at 28. And then Quay Walker, you know, you've got a guy who was one of the leaders on Georgia's defense, and you get him at 22.
Yep.
You don't have to move up to get the wide out. You get the guy you want. I mean, this show me a guy physically in this entire draft who is more impressive than Christian Watson. There isn't one. That's the answer on this. So as difficult and tough as I can be on Green Bay at times, and this is, to me, they nailed it. They nailed it with those picks. They got better where they needed to, and they will have a real chance to compete in the NFC again this year, I think, if there is a risk there, Christian Watson pans out.
Well, from one wide receiver team to another, 4.43.
What's happening, guys? I wanted to talk the NBA playoffs for you.
Yeah? What's happening? Is Giannis lighting it up? For Milwaukee?
I don't know. I don't fucking watch that. The draft, the Ravens, what do you guys think?
Well, we just talked about
it. We talked about it already, yeah. But we thought they did well. The problem for them is, your wide receiver room is horse shit.
Well, I'd love to hear your take on that one.
You trade away Marquise Brown, and then you don't replace him? I don't get it.
I don't think – well, so – I think
He's making excuses.
Yeah,
right now,
he's got nothing prepared.
You know, remember,
he's got nothing prepared.
His team wasn't. His team sucked because they were all injured.
You see, great job. Look, you addressed the secondary. Secondary is probably the best in the league. Okay, I'll give you that. You drafted more tight ends because you guys know what you're doing there. You
cannot historically draft wide receivers. That's why we stayed away from it. I think we are going to pick up Jarvis Landry or OBJ. And we'll see how that pans out.
So your entire season, your entire hopes for the 2022 football season rest with hoping that one of the two viable free agents remaining will come to your team.
Okay. Don't forget
Julio Jones, Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Julio Jones.
What were our passing stats in 2019? Where did the ball go?
It went way back.
At the fullback, it went to Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, and the running backs. And Lamar Jackson was running the ball and throwing the ball to them. 2019, we had the best offense in the league, arguably, and we didn't need any wideouts. Who did we have that year?
I don't know. We got to go all the way back to 2019.
The league has adjusted to Lamar Jackson. The jig is up. He has to be able to throw the ball. You're not going to win shit if you don't get another wide receiver. Mark my words. The Ravens will not be a playoff team if they don't get another wideout.
Brian, can I just tell him who his wide receivers were? He had Willie Snead.
Who?
Willie Snead.
No, I mean, he's decent.
Chris Moore.
Was this the 2019 roster?
Yes.
Okay.
Marquise Brown.
Well,
my point. Marquise Brown was, I think, a rookie
He was a rookie that year.
Nick Boyle.
No, they had. He's right. They had shit wide receivers.
Miles Boykin. Yeah, but that was 2019.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, where Lamar Jackson won the MVP, and we shit the bed in the playoffs
because you didn't have a fucking wide receiver. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want to is the goal just to make the playoffs, or is it to try and win championships? Because if you're just going to try and make the playoffs, your defense is definitely good enough to do that. You'll make the playoffs, and then guess what's going to happen? You're going to get fucking curb stomped in the first round of the playoffs because you don't have a number one wideout on your roster.
Brian, this is going to be a hot take right now. Take Mark Andrews as your number one fantasy tight end because that guy's going to have 200 targets.
Well, he's going to have to.
He's
going to
have
to.
He's going to have all the targets and all the touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Andrews is the number one tight end in the league now. Look,
that is not a hot
take. I give the Ravens credit in they got great value in the draft. Their first three picks were home runs. All that credit in the world. Doesn't change the fact that you don't have a fucking wide receiver in a league that requires you to have two, and you don't have any. You have a guy who might be good enough to be a number two as your number one at this moment.
Well, that's all Marquise Brown was as well.
No, Marquise Brown was a number two. You're right. You had two twos at least.
Yeah, but you don't have him. You don't even have Marquise Brown.
Hold on. And how did your season end? What'd you guys do in the playoffs?
It's because he was hurt. We were number one in the AFC. Lamar Jackson gets hurt. We lose six straight, miss the playoffs. Yippee.
Because you had no wide receivers for your backup quarterback to throw to.
Who had to run around the whole time.
Yeah.
We didn't have either of our starting running backs all season. Lamar Jackson took us 8-3 when he was playing.
Hold on.
And then we
Little purple, but now you're saying is that he did that with with at least a Marquise Brown, and now he doesn't even have that.
Yeah.
So you got Rashad Bateman.
Rashad Bateman, Jason's cousin.
Rashad Bateman is going to be very close to a number one receiver.
He will not. He will be a number two, and you do not have a number one. You know this in your heart of hearts, and you know that in this NFL, if you don't have a number one wide receiver, you have 0.0 chance of winning it all, which is all that it's all about. And the window's closing. Lamar will be gone after this season. And the Ravens will flounder in obscurity.
Just like the Bucs when Tom Brady retires again?
We'll see, probably, but at least the Bucs still have a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and we have a Super Bowl championship in the last 5 years.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll end on that note. Congrats to us, Lummy.
Thank you, Little Purple.
You know, he's angry. His last place team finished dead last in their division in the NFC North.
AFC North. It was very difficult. They had a lot of injuries, by the way,
Brian. Many injuries. You know, they beat the Chiefs early in the season who had nobody, right? Then I'm looking for those wins over quality teams. I'm looking for those wins over quality teams.
Colts were quality. Actually, that's when they started out.
No,
slow.
They weren't.
Yeah,
I mean, where are the victories over playoff teams? Where are the victories? The Chiefs. And the Chiefs stumbled out of the gate. Okay? So tell me, show me, what playoff teams did they beat last year, Lummy? I mean, while Lamar Jackson was leading them to an 8-3 record, what were the playoff teams that he beat? Zero?
The Bears didn't make the playoffs.
No, they beat the Chiefs. That was it. 36-35 when the Chiefs were playing like dog shit to start the year. That's it. Don't try and bust me up with your big 2-point victory at the Lions. Come on.
That was early on.
Yeah, that's when Lamar was playing. He said, they were 8-3 under Lamar. Yeah, and they played the fucking weakest schedule you've ever seen in your life. They start playing teams with a pulse and they lose. Now, they played more defensive, close-knit games because they had to change their strategy. Maybe if they had a number one wide receiver, Marquise Brown was a number two. Maybe if they had a legitimate number one wide receiver, they might have been able to compete. But go get another corner and another safety and another tight end. Don't worry about that wide receiver position. I bet this fad of needing three wideouts in the NFL is going to end very soon.
No, Brian, what is going to happen is that they're going to need three tight ends.
Yeah. They're going to be running three tight end sets.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And they're just going to dump it off to Andrews, and Lamar Jackson's going to be so happy he's going to sign a 10-year contract with the Ravens and stay.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be out of there.
Oh, every quarterback likes to be in a lame duck season. So that, especially a running quarterback who's one injury away from not having any contract waiting for him or having a, you know, losing, you know, 2 years guaranteed off his contract. The fact that he has not signed is such a gigantic red flag. Such a tremendously large red flag. I'm very nervous if I'm a Ravens fan.
Listen.
That's why Little Purple was yelling so much, because he's nervous as shit. He knows they have no wideouts. If you have no wideouts, you have no chance in this NFL.
But he did say defense still wins championships.
Last I checked, it helps. It helps. Okay. You do have to be a complete team still. And they've got that side of the ball. Okay. I'll grant you that. I'll grant you that. But where are the 26 to 28 points a game you're going to need to score to win in the NFL coming from with that lineup?
Wait, Brian, is this not 2001 with Trent Dilfer and the Baltimore Ravens defense winning it all?
Yeah, it's not.
It's not the same league?
It's not the same league. Listen, no, we're two decades removed from that.
Well, listen, you know, they got a good defense.
They do.
They got no wide receivers and one tight end.
They've got a team that looks destined to go 11-6 and get bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
Who's their running back this year?
They've got all the running backs. They've got all the running backs that are unproven or injured and last year and didn't do shit.
Devontae Freeman's still on there?
No, they've got all. Now, I will say this. They have a rookie, a 1 year, a 2 year, a 3 year, a 4 year, and a 5 year running back in their running back room. They have one from each draft class. So they've got that. You know, they've got the running back situation. Look, the NFL running backs mean very little, especially when you have a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson. But you know, they've got Dobbins, they've got Edwards, they've got Hill, they got the Tyson Williams guy. They've got guys who can play. They don't have an elite running back in that backfield, but they have decent enough running backs. That's not their problem. I'm not on them for not improving at the running back position. I'm on them because they have probably the most now, as it stands at this moment, maybe the most pathetic wide receiver room in the NFL.
You don't think they maybe should have used one of those fourth round picks instead of drafting a punter to maybe grab a wide receiver?
Well, no, because they're going to be playing a lot of field position battles without a wide receiver to throw to.
So they want to get their defense in the best position?
That's
is that what
it.
You're saying?
You know, your strategy is to win a lot of 13-10 games this season.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
And field position makes the difference in that scenario.
What did you think of the Cleveland Browns, even though they didn't have many draft picks? What did you think of their draft?
I really haven't looked at what they did, quite honestly. I'm not the Browns are completely irrelevant until we know Deshaun Watson isn't going to miss any games. And then they'll be relevant. Look, they're one of those teams. When you don't pick until number 68, like, of course your draft isn't going to look great. I mean, they had a lot of late picks. I'll tell you, Jerome Ford, round 5, pick 13 out of Cincinnati is a great fucking pick.
But he's a good running back.
Awesome running back. Awesome. I don't understand this new fascination with picking up specialist guys in the fourth round.
That looked like they did a big run on the fourth round.
Like they went with the place kicker. I don't, you know, draft. Come on. You get those. You can get great kids who can play and do almost as good. Like, that's the thing, is like the difference between getting a decent running back or wide receiver in the fourth or fifth round and getting one as an undrafted free agent is that's a pretty substantial gap. But kicker and punter, there's not a huge difference there.
Well, do you remember
the most part?
Well, I mean, most of the time, the special teamers, the kickers, and the punters were always probably either the seventh or picked up in the
right
free agency.
This new fourth round thing started to happen the last few years.
Yeah, well, the Bucs have been not too good with.
Well, the Bucs made the Aguayo pick was terrible, but horrible. I mean, the Janikowski pick, you know, people got on the Raiders about that, but he had value for them at least.
Well, didn't they also pick their punter in the first round or second round?
Yeah, they went with that route. But they had them both. At least they had them both for like their whole career.
Yeah, like 20 years, yeah. And they were studs.
You got
at it.
Value out of that. Now, it may not have been, you know, the same amount of value all at once that you get out of a stud tight end or quarterback or offensive lineman, but they got value out of those picks.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
They were not as terrible as they seemed at the time. But looking at further at Cleveland here, you know, they've got some decent guys that they picked up. It's tough when you're in the middle of the pack and picking those guys up. The Mike Woods out of Oklahoma is a decent pick. I like him better than Wandale Robinson, quite honestly. I just think Robinson doesn't really have a place in this league at his height and size. You know, Mike Woods will be a a fourth guy, but he has potential at least.
Yeah,
I don't mind that pick. A late pick like that. I like, and a kid who played at a school that throws the ball around. You see these great wideouts, these slot guys come from schools like Texas Tech, and
yeah, they just throw five wide.
Where these guys are out there running routes, very precise routes, all day long. So give me one of those June Jones guys. I like it.
Another one I want to is the Bengals. A lot of people they said they had a good draft, but they're kind of questioning if you think they could be back in the playoffs next year. I mean,
do I think they could be back in the playoffs?
Yeah, a lot of people are starting to question it. Like if it was just a one and done. I don't know why.
I don't think they're a flash in the pan team. I think they're young. If as long as everybody continues to get better, as long as they don't become complacent, I think that they're set to compete. I mean, they improved offensive line,
and they covered their one big thing was their defensive backs.
Right, they were getting torched, but they improved the offensive line in free agency. Right,
and still our guy.
Yeah, but I mean, they got better at that position.
Sure did.
And then they shored up their secondary. I mean, three of their first five picks were secondary guys. So, they've addressed their problems, and we'll see how it all pans out. I mean, you're counting on second and third and fourth rounders to perform for you.
There was another one I was going to ask you, but I can't think of it. I want to see, did you see the Europe games now? They released some today.
Yeah, the Bucks are playing the Seahawks in Germany.
Yeah. What's your feelings on the Germany game?
I mean, I like our odds against the fucking Seahawks.
I love our odds against. I love our odds about that. But I mean, like, what's your feeling on them just now? Now Germany, they're going to go into Wembley.
I mean, it's money. You know that I don't blame them. I don't blame Jacksonville for signing a 3-year contract with the NFL to be guaranteed a game in London through 2024. You get money over there, and I don't have a problem with them growing the sport internationally. You know, they added the extra game. So, yeah, the Bucks are losing a home game, but they're not really because they still have eight. So,
yeah, but you don't think that really takes a beating on those teams that got to travel over there? Travel
no, because
back.
They time it with their bye week.
I know, but still, it seems like sometimes they don't really bounce back as much. But maybe because they're sending a lot of shitty teams over there. But it just seems like they're.
Well, they're not. I mean, historically, they've given shitty teams to that, but they're trying to step it up. They're trying to get them some better matchups. I mean, this marks the first time the Packers have ever been sent overseas. They were the last team in the NFL to not play internationally, and they're finally going to do that this season.
Do you predict there's going to be an NFL team in Europe in the next 5 years?
It's so tough to do, and the only way I could really see it working would be if they literally played all their home games in a row, or at least like a month at a time. So go like 4-4-4-4. And they would have to have some sort of home base in the United States. So they would have to have, obviously a facility here where they could practice on the weeks that they're not traveling back and forth.
You don't think they would do what Stu tried to do? Split between the two?
I think that's a bad idea.
I think it's a horrible idea.
For the NFL. Well, and I'll tell you, it works in baseball a little bit better. Because they have the volume of games, right? You've still got 81 games, so 40 plus home games.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you've only got 8 or 9 home games a season. And so you can't afford to be giving away half of those and maintain fan interest. So no, I don't agree with a split season plan for an NFL team in Europe. I wouldn't mind seeing. It would be somewhat interesting. What it does too is it opens up the TV window right into the 9:30, and that's what the NFL likes, because now you're literally getting an extra window for games, and so it makes the TV contract more attractive. I think you probably would have two teams out there, and I think they'd probably would be looking at a Germany and a London team,
So you think they would want to put two out there if they were going to put at least one? You say they want to put two?
I think they probably would. I think they're starting to test the German market again to see if it would. They know that London will. They know that they can field a successful team there. The question is, would you have another one? And I think the ultimate question is, could you get to four? Could you get enough to support an entire division?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that would make more sense.
It would make a lot more
because
sense.
Because obviously, you know, you...
Half your games are divisional, and so you don't have the travel issues.
And then you could even work, like you're saying, where you do that home and away, where those teams come out, play their, you know, maybe a little more away
games.
Yeah, you do
your divisional games. You break up, so you kind of break the season up into quarters. So you do one round of divisional games, right? Then you do one round where two of the teams would come over here and play four consecutive road games.
Yeah.
And then you would have the next two teams come over here, and then those two teams would go back and play their four consecutive home games.
Yeah.
The issue that you have from the NFL is what you do with the teams. You are penalizing the U.S.-based teams that have to travel over there and then travel back.
Would they make it, though, two bye weeks maybe?
You'd have to probably at that point add another bye week.
And then make it, obviously, 18 weeks, but two bye weeks, which I don't think the NFL players would probably scoff at an extra bye week.
No, I think you get down then to two preseason games.
Yeah.
And maybe just add a couple scrimmages, you know, where they're not full-on games. But no, it's there. I think the way it works best is with four teams and having their own division. I just don't know that they have four markets that can support teams there at this stage.
Do you ever see one in Canada, in Toronto?
I could see one there potentially, and I could see one in Mexico City, and they're exploring that as well.
I remember the last game they tried to play in Mexico City, it was canceled. Because,
yeah, the turf. They're trying it again this year.
Are they?
It's I want to say it's San Fran and Arizona this year.
Hmm.
But they're trying it again. I briefly read the article before the show.
It's Arizona, San Fran, November 21st, Monday night game.
Yeah.
In Mexico City.
The Bucs have never won internationally, by the way. 0-3 all time.
Oh.
Losing to, I believe, if I'm reading the article correctly in my head, New England, Carolina, and Atlanta.
I believe I watched that New England game in Mexico when I was with Ernest Graham when he blew out his knee and the Bucs were looking pretty good. I think I was, 0-5?
Oh, they got destroyed that game, 35-7 or something
like
that.
Yeah, Ernest Graham, and the Bucs were, I think they were started out like 2-3-1. Ernest Graham blew his knee out. I think they started 5-1. I think that was, because I was in Mexico watching it, drinking a lot of whiskey at 9 a.m. or what was it, 3? It was like 7 a.m., I think. Whew, it was a bad day. Bad day.
Ooh, that was a Freudian slip.
Bad day.
It was a bad gay.
Bad day. I was not happy. But, I did not know they were 0-3 there.
Well, yeah, hopefully, they haven't done well across the pond.
Hopefully they can pull the nose up on Seattle. With Seattle, though, what are they going to do for quarter? Where's Baker going?
Who cares?
There was a lot of speculation. He was going to come to Tampa for a mid-round pick.
Nobody wants him.
But why doesn't Seattle want him?
Because they know what a fucking loser he is. I've told you, John, are we going to have this conversation every season about Baker Mayfield? Why did I tell you that the Browns weren't going to do jack shit last year?
Because of Baker Mayfield.
Because they had no leadership, their locker room sucked, they have no winners on that team, and Baker Mayfield's the leader of that loser pack. And what happened to Cleveland? They shit the bed. Exactly like we thought they would. They were who we thought they were. Now, they still technically finished ahead of Baltimore in the standings, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I mean, Baltimore had a lot of injuries. You don't understand.
I do. No, I understand when the schedule got tough, they got the fuck going. Steelers, Browns, Packers, Bengals, Rams, Steelers to end the year. L.
Don't forget that overtime loss to possibly make the playoffs.
I can read the letter L. Today's letter is the letter L. This show is sponsored on Sesame Street by the letter L.
Well,
are they entering the season with the longest losing streak in the NFL?
I believe so.
I believe they may be.
Because Jacksonville took care of business against the Colts.
Yeah.
So I believe they are.
Or the Texans, they won one later in the year, right?
Yeah. The Texans actually weren't looking too bad toward the later of the year.
So the Baltimore Ravens have the longest active losing streak in the NFL.
Now, can you imagine if they start 0-5?
Yeah, that'd be oof.
Little Purple will be eating his words here.
Oh, man. And then Lamar definitely isn't re-signing.
Oh, no. He probably requests a trade halfway through the year. Get out of that shithole town. So obviously you're not. Obviously, I know you're not a Baker fan, but you see Seattle maybe going with a Drew Lock or that Georgia quarterback. I can't think of his name, but their backup last year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they were not wowed.
Jacob Eason.
Yeah, they're not. They were not wowed by the crop of QBs in this draft. I think the biggest shock to me was Willis falling to the third round, rather. I think that was probably, to me, what I didn't see. I thought teams would get more desperate, and they never did.
Well, what do you see in your comments on the Tannehill with him coming out saying, I'm not going to.
That's a terrible fucking leader there. I don't like it. You know, they asked if he was going to mentor, for those who don't know, they asked Ryan Tannehill if he was going to mentor Malik Willis, and he said that's not what he's here to do. If the kid happens to learn some stuff from me along the way, that's fine. You know, I understand why Tannehill's worried, because it would make sense for Tennessee to part ways with him after this season.
Makes too much money this year, but yeah.
So next year it's only $18.8 million in dead cap versus, I think, a $36 million full-on cap hit. So or $25 million, something like that. It's a pretty big difference, a big enough to justify cutting him if you think Willis can help you win. Now, you're coming off a disappointing season for Tannehill. Granted, Brown was injured. Henry was injured. Julio Jones was Julio Jones. So they didn't have, you know, they could use the same excuses that Baltimore would, but they are not losers, so they're not going to do that in Tennessee.
Well, Tannehill also went to therapy after the playoffs.
Well, and he probably...
He went through a lot of... He said he was in a dark space after that playoff loss.
Yeah, well, at least they made the playoffs. You know, they had all those injuries, and they still made the playoffs.
Well,
so
that is true.
My hat's off to the Titans, because, you know, they still won 12 games, and they didn't use all the injuries as an excuse.
True.
Because they're winners. They're not losers.
100%. I mean, what do you... Well, okay, how about this one? What did you think of that A.J. Brown trade?
I like it. Titans? I like it.
For the Eagles?
First of all, the Eagles fired their entire... scouting department. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So I think that tells you all you need to know about the Eagles draft.
Yeah.
When they're like, yeah, let's just trade for somebody because we don't trust a single motherfucker who's working for us right now. I think it could be good for the here's the thing.
I know you're saying the Titans, they drafted their replacement, and that rookie wide receiver is going to be good.
But he's not going to be A.J. Brown out of the gate. That's number one. And so you've already blew it with Julio. Then you unload Brown. Now you've got if you're Tennessee and you're sitting there looking at this and you're thinking, you know, are they kind of in an early rebuild? Are they preparing to cut Tannehill? Are they?
And then what are you thinking when you're Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, you've only got a couple good years. I mean, you're running back. You could be one of those running backs, the Adrian Peterson type, that those once a generation guys that plays your whole career. But if you're Tennessee, what are you thinking, Lummy?
Well, I mean, at this point right now, it looks like they want to get away from Tannehill. They're not sold on him. I do like that rookie, the wide receiver that they did bring in, but he has no A.J. Brown. They were set up. They were the number one team coming out of there in the AFC. They did have they lost 19-16 to the Bengals. After all those losses, they finished 12-4. I think that if they would have stayed the course this year, I feel the Titans would still be probably one of the best teams in the AFC. Now, you got a rookie wide receiver. You kind of have an unhappy number one quarterback who's already saying he's going to therapy because he's in a dark place. Derrick Henry, yeah, he's recovered from an injury, but is this a sign that Derrick Henry might be, you know, going to maybe 4 or 5 games next year again? You know what I mean? Julio Jones is gone. I think they'll make the playoffs, and I think if they don't advance, Tannehill's gone. And it's almost like it's a minor rebuild.
They're one of the better defenses in the AFC, so they've got that going for them. They also have going that they happen to play in the AFC South. So,
but yeah, the Colts. I mean, the Colts are going to be
good. Ryan. We'll see. But Houston ain't going to do shit.
No, but the Colts have a really good offensive line, and Matt Ryan hasn't had an offensive line, I don't think, in his career.
No, and he's got some weapons, you know. He's got some weapons there to use.
I think
Taylor Pittman. And Pittman Jr.
I think he's going to be really good this year. He was
supposed to be the breakout guy this year. I think that this is truly the year that he's a breakout guy. But yeah, I mean, it's they're still winning their division, Tennessee, just based upon their defense and Derrick Henry alone.
They're going to battle with the Colts. The Titans will probably come out. The problem is that Tannehill is probably gone after this season unless he just puts up ridiculous numbers.
I will say this, the Titans are giving Baltimore a run for the worst wide receiver room in the NFL. The difference though is that they have Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And nobody else does. So that's to me the difference maker, but the Titans wide receiver room is
but if he goes down, I mean, then they're just...
To use a word, underwhelming, it's pretty bad. I mean, they have no real proven wideouts on their team.
I'm pulling up their roster now.
It's pretty.
It's pretty bad.
It's ugly, Robert Woods now is probably their best wide receiver, and he's coming off of, what, two injury years in a row?
Yeah. I mean, but
the Westbrook Akinyi guy is not bad, but he's also not. I mean, he's a number three at best, right?
You don't think Robert? How bad was that? What did he have? He tore his knee.
Yeah, he fucked himself up pretty good. I forget exactly what his injury was, but I want to say he's missed chunks of the last two of the last 3 years. I want to say. Let's see.
He played
9 games last year. No, it was 17. He only played 12 games.
All right, so that's not too bad.
No, I thought it was more recent, but it was 2017 was the last time he was injured. But he's only gone over 1,000 yards once in his career.
Yeah, but you got to think he was also getting passes thrown to him from Jared Goff.
Yeah, that's true, and he had Cooper Kupp gobbling up a lot on the other side. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He missed the entire 2019 season with injury.
Oh.
So I was right. He only played half the year last year, missed all of 19. So he had 20 where he was fully healthy. So it's been since his best season in 2018 when he was last really, you know, truly a legitimate number one A, 1B type guy. And now, you know, he's 3 years removed from that. He's missed a total of 24 games in 3 seasons.
I'm looking at the wide receivers. Oof.
Yeah, it's not pretty. I mean, if Robert Woods has anything left in the tank,
he'll be a good number one for that team with the other young players they have.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's not too good. Adrian Peterson's up. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see on that one. I mean, knowing the AAC. I thought Atlanta did a pretty good job picking up that Cincinnati quarterback.
Desmond Ridder is a perfect complement to Marcus Mariota. So if you're looking, you know, the problem for Willis is what is he actually going to learn from Tannehill? Because they're two totally different fucking quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to thrive in the system that they currently have and that they're currently running in Tennessee, whereas Desmond Ridder will absolutely thrive learning behind Marcus Mariota. They're almost the same quarterback.
It's too bad that Tyrod Taylor is now on the Giants because Tyrod Taylor would be a perfect quarterback for Malik Willis to learn under.
Yeah, well, it's too bad Tyrod Taylor's not good enough to start, but yeah.
Well, every time he gets a start, he either breaks a rib, blows a leg out, has a doctor shove something into his lungs or whatever.
That's
it was.
A sign about a quarterback that he's just not the guy, right?
Well, yeah, but you don't think so? Is Danny Dimes going to start over Tyrod Taylor for the Giants?
Absolutely. They believe in him still. They wouldn't have picked up his option, right?
Mm.
No, they went out and got the offensive line. Look, you can't. Part of it's on Danny Dimes, but Barkley's proven to be a paper tiger. Evan Engram never panned out. They had wide receiver injuries out the ass last season. You know, the Giants, they're not going to be good. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to be good, but Daniel Jones deserves one more season to try and not suck.
I don't know if I see that really happening though.
You don't think he's going to start this year?
No. Being good. You said he has one more season to be good.
To show that he can, yeah. to show that he can be that a competent NFL quarterback.
I don't see that happening. I think the Giants are going to be drafting a quarterback next season.
But here's the thing. If you're the Giants, you either want to lose with Jones or find out that he's good enough, right? You can't go and roll a Tyrod Taylor out there and win four or five games again. I mean, you'd rather go out there and die with Jones or win with him, one way or the other.
Which I'm trying to think who's the big quarterbacks coming up next year. I mean, this year's quarterback draft was just horrible.
Well, when you only have one guy taken in the first two rounds, you know it's a terrible draft class. I mean, historically bad.
The North Carolina kid.
Sam Howell?
Yeah.
He's the one who I think is the most value. He went in the fifth round, right? First pick of the fifth round. I think he's the best value in terms of all of them. Although Willis could be. You know, Willis is going to be a boom or bust type of guy. He could be the Lamar Jackson of this draft, or he could be...
RG3.
Well, his career got derailed because Shanahan's a cocksucker. Am I allowed to say that?
I don't know. Well, let's say he sucks.
Okay. Shanahan was a shitty head coach. But yeah, Sam Howell, pick five. The problem for him is he went to Washington, and that's where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah, I think you said that last week.
Yeah.
And that was before they drafted Sam Howell.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy had a huge arm. I mean, he was projected to be in the Heisman race.
Well, he's not the most accurate thrower. He's more of a gunslinging type. His measurables aren't quite there. He's a little bit undersized. He does play with moxie, so his moxie's off the scale. But no, I don't see a guy in this draft class that you look at. I don't blame Pittsburgh for taking Pickett when they did and how they did, because he definitely has the highest floor out of any quarterback in this draft. You know, he'll be at least mediocre. You can't even say that about the other guys.
You want to compare him to like a Jeff George?
No, I don't want to compare him to anybody.
Come on, we got to compare him to somebody.
No, I'm going to just say that but he has small hands too for a quarterback. And
I think every quarterback in this draft had a small hands, which I've never really heard the hands thing being that big of a deal though.
Oh, that matters to NFL teams.
Now?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember just the height thing with the Drew Brees being short to the Russell Wilson being short.
The gripping of the football. And see, that's Matt Corral is the most prototypical size quarterback, you know, 9 5/8 inch versus, you know, Kenny Pickett, 8 1/2 inches. You don't think an inch and a half in terms of hand spread, you know, hand width makes a difference?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because obviously the NFL ball is totally different
than the college ball.
You're
going to see a lot of fumbles out of this quarterback class.
What, from Kenny
Pickett?
A lot
of strip sacks. Oh, yeah. I mean, if his hand is really only 8 1/2 inches, I mean, that
just seems too small.
That's what I'm saying, Lummy.
No. But I'm saying that just like all these quarterbacks that are coming out that, you know.
Now, Matt Corral's 9 5/8. I mean.
Where did he go? I was trying to. I was looking up average quarterback hands.
Average quarterback hands?
Yeah.
He went to Carolina. He's the heir apparent to Sam Darnold there. He will get to compete day one for the starting job.
Oh, yeah, Sam Darnold. I think they hate that. I mean, they hate that guy. Whoa.
What?
9 7/10?
Yeah, buddy. I'm telling you. What do you think? I was kidding?
No. Trust me. I just didn't know it was that big. Everyone said their hands were so small. And
Tom Brady was almost 9 1/2, 9.4 inches.
Tom Brady's got 9 1/2 inch hands.
Yeah, but that's still that'd be like the second biggest in this year's quarterback draft class.
Because it's like the average, wow, in first round picks, smallest to biggest. Wow, I'm kind of blown away right now. Taysom Hill had the smallest of starting quarterbacks last year, 8 3/4. Isn't he a tight end? Was he a tight end?
Essentially. But so get this. He was 8 3/4. Pickett's 8 1/2. He's 8 1/2.
Aaron Rodgers is 10 1/8. Man, can you imagine how big his dong
is? His hog is?
Yeah.
But Pickett, 8 1/2. He's got Burger King hands.
Yeah, he would be the smallest. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. To me, that's almost disqualified.
But see, like, you look at Joe Burrow. I know that. I think I remember hearing.
I'm gonna say
about
nine and three quarters.
Nine,
and and that was considered small.
Yeah,
half inch bigger than Kenny Pickett.
But, I mean, Joe Burrow's can sling the rock.
No, he can. It's not the end-all, be-all.
Well, like you said, like the fumbles. I totally get that.
But it's not, and it's not the end-all, be-all. But if you're a rookie, if you're looking at these guys and you're like, are you going to be a franchise quarterback, generally speaking?
All right, let's go real quick. I know you got to leave at 20.
Yeah, but within about five minutes or so.
So if you look at quarterbacks with the big, say, Russell Wilson, you would call a franchise quarterback.
I mean, I don't know how good he is, but
he's the biggest, though.
But yeah, he's up there. I mean, he's gone to a Super Bowl, right?
And won it.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Josh Allen, Matt Stafford, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert. Now, Trevor Lawrence, we don't know yet. Carson Wentz. Oh, Tua's got a 10. All right, we're fading off here. Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but with that, for the start of that list, it was almost like you're listing off the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yeah, Sam Darnold and Tom Brady have the same. Zach Wilson. So, yeah, I mean, the only one that obviously I don't see being a franchise quarterback is Tua. I'm still questioning Jalen Hurts. What's your opinion on Jalen Hurts?
He ain't it. Here's you're disqualified if you played quarterback for Alabama at any point in time.
Even Mac Jones? I mean, he's really...
Even him.
You don't like Mac Jones?
Show me something this year. Actually, put him in a position where he has to win games, and let's see how he does. Alabama quarterbacks, there have not been a decent one since Joe Namath.
I got to look this up real quick.
We've done this exercise before, dude.
But I think I named one other guy.
That was like marginally average, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they have one.
Kenny Stabler.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. That's the other one.
Bart Starr.
Well, Bart Starr was before Namath.
I was just naming their quarterbacks that were actually pretty good.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that, buddy.
Well, okay, we got Kenny Stabler.
Okay, that's it. Let's look at the last 40 years. Let's go 42 years since 1980. Roll that beautiful footage. You ready for this? Don Jacobs, Ken Coley, Alan Gray, Walter Lewis, Mike Shula.
Mike Shula.
Not in the NFL?
No.
As a coach or a quarterback? Vince Sutton, Jeff Dunn, David Smith, Gary Hollingsworth, Danny Woodson, Jay Barker, Brian Bergdorf, Freddie Kitchens, Lance Tucker, John David Phillips, Andrew Zhao, Tyler Watts, Brandon Avalos, Spencer Pennington, Mark Guion, Brody Coyle, John Parker Wilson, Greg McElroy, AJ McCarron, Blake Sims, Jake Coker, Cooper Bateman, Blake Barnett, Jalen Hurts, Tua, Mac Jones, and now he's Bryce Young as their starter. Can you fucking believe that that's the list of Alabama's starting quarterbacks in the last 42 years?
I mean, I heard
how many NFL wins are in there? I mean,
come on,
maybe
Brody Coyle.
There may be 15 NFL wins total between all those guys.
AJ McCarron,
not counting Tua.
Brody Coyle.
Yeah. Greg McElroy, the great Greg McElroy.
Butch Hobson,
drafted by the Jets, so you know he did well.
John Parker Wilson,
yeah. He did great. Who got him? The Rams, was it?
The Falcons? Well, I know he played for the Falcons.
Yeah. No, you're right. He went undrafted, but played for the Falcons, Jaguars, and Steelers.
I mean, that's a pretty good, you know. Yeah, that's not the best. But, okay. All right. Well, listen, I'm not high on Tua. I'm not high on Jalen Hurts either. I just know that Jalen Hurts, both of those quarterbacks now have a ton of weapons around them.
I will say this. I don't think McElroy got a fair shake.
Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his numbers his last two seasons were not terrible. He played 27 games. He completed 65% of his passes for 37 touchdowns versus 9 picks. And that's not tragic.
No, that's actually not. Who's that? That was with the bank? No, the bank.
His hand span was 9 3/8 inches, by the way.
Oh, nice. Who was that with?
That was with the Jets.
The Jets.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on. That's another team. I mean,
no, I get it, but I'm saying like, oh, I'm sorry. That was his college stats. I'm an idiot. Yeah, no, he sucked. He played in two games. He played in two games in the NFL.
You knew their stats. I'm like, wow, I wonder, did he have some kind of injury? I started typing in this
thing.
I was like, what's going on?
I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, why the fuck did he not make it in the league? These are pretty good numbers. And then I see why. Yeah, because
it was his college stats.
Yeah, his NFL career consisted of 19 of 31 for 214 yards with a touchdown and a pick.
In two games?
Yeah, in parts of two games.
Oh, that's even worse. I'd be like, that's not. You know what? If that was one game, that's not too bad of a game
for your first start. But yeah, he never made it. He never caught on. But no, that, I mean, isn't it shocking how terrible Alabama quarterback history is? Why would you even bother taking one of them?
Yeah, like, it points out that they're wide receivers and running backs in offensive
and their head coach.
And everyone. Yeah. Their whole offense is just that good that they could plug in any bullshit artist and still win because their wide receivers are. They've had stud wide receivers in the league lately. Their running backs have been getting better.
Oh, they've had two wideouts picked in pretty much every draft for the last decade.
Yeah, in the top 10.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
I totally agree. And yes, Gardner Minshew, he does need a real shot. That's what everyone's saying.
Well, that's if I'm Seattle, that's the one guy that I'd be looking to trade for. I would take who would you rather have, Minshew or Mayfield?
Minshew.
Yeah, and it's not even really close, is it?
No.
So why is there even talk about people trading for Baker Mayfield?
Because Gardner Minshew was not a sexy number one overall pick doing All-State commercials living in a stadium.
He can stay living in that stadium and eating the old cheese because nobody's taking him.
Listen, if he had any swagger, the best commercial would be him shooting the commercials actually like he's living outside the stadium in a tent. And he says, luckily I'm able to afford my Allstate, but I'm looking for a job, and he's living outside the stadium now.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad of an idea.
That would be kind of funny. I mean, wouldn't you kind of give that up to him a little bit?
Yeah. Was it Allstate or Progressive? Was it Allstate?
I don't fucking know. It's one. I mean, you know what? You're probably right. It probably was Progressive.
I think it was Progressive.
Okay, well, you know what? They're blue and white logos. So.
Well, because Progressive's big in Ohio.
Is it?
Yeah. That's where they're headquartered in Cleveland.
Wasn't Progressive the one that has that lady?
Yeah, Flo.
Oh.
They got Flo and Baker.
Wow, what a real lineup there.
I mean,
Allstott got the guy from Major League Baseball. Serrano.
Huh?
Serrano. What? Major League Baseball, the movie?
Yeah.
Come on, Serrano.
Yeah. Anyways.
You got no marbles, Brian. Marbles.
Anyways.
Marbles.
Anyways. That's our NFL draft recap show. What'd you think of it, Lummy?
I think it was amazing, Brian. You think the Lightning are going to do it tonight?
They better fucking do something. If they come out and look as listless as they did in game one against Toronto, they might be staring at a sweep.
Don't say that. I know it's totally possible.
If they come out and lose by more than two goals in this game, it's going to be 4 or 5. This is going to be a very short postseason. I will say this. They look like a team that is tired.
They look tired. And Maple Leafs look like they came out, they knew they were tired, and they just pushed them around like they're
little
bitches.
We will see how the Lightning respond. It's been 14 consecutive victories after losses. So if they can keep that trend going, I like their chances in the series. But if they lose tonight, oof. Especially if they can lose a one goal, you know, tough game and still have a chance. But if they come out and get beat by two or more goals, like legit, not an empty netter at the end. Like, get outplayed significantly. I don't see how they bounce back to win.
Nope, I agree with you, Brian, and we'll see what happens. And we are live tomorrow, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy. Get all your Bubba Army merch at BubbaArmyShop.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.